Welcome, welcome, welcome to the social circle. Sorry it's been a while. It's time to stay social while being socially distant, of course. Please take precaution and watch out for Omicron? What the fuck is it?
Omicron.
From
Atlanta, Omicron per CIA.
That's old Greg's funny ass, you know, over there. You guys remember him, you know. We're just sitting out here shooting the shit. I do hope that all of you have had a great Thanksgiving. I had a great Thanksgiving. I was only able to eat one plate with my family. Oh, Greg, how many plates were you able to eat on Thanksgiving night?
I ate about, like, two.
Fuck you. My record is 8, you know, and this was, like, 6 years ago. But, dude, honestly, like, no, but all seriousness, though, like, I hope you guys had a great time with your family. Did you have a great time with your family and everything?
I did.
Good. Let's see. Oh, Greg, I got one more question to ask you. How do we feel about our New England Patriots going 6 in a row?
Oh,
yeah. 6 in a row, bitches. Exactly. And Buffalo, you're next. We'll see what happens. We'll see you Monday. And Monday, unfortunately, I will be back at work. I won't be able to watch physically, but I will be listening. I will be listening to the game. I wish I would be able to watch and analyze the mistakes and, you know, all that shit. Because you guys know me. I'm not the best broadcaster. I'm not the best fucking analyzer, whatever the fuck you want to call it. but... let's see. We were just here with Stormy, and I do want to say shout out to Stormy, who had just left. I wanted to shout him out on Thanksgiving. I was gonna do a Thanksgiving episode, but unfortunately, you know, it was I was just tired from, you know, drinking a little bit too much. I want to shout out to Stormy and also shout out to the family of, my main man, my best friend, big bro, Superman, who passed away last year. And, unfortunately his family cannot be with, him this year. And, you know, Stormy, he, had lost his uncle last year. Just know, you know, I just want to send my condolences to those who spent Thanksgiving with someone missing, but understand that there was always an empty spot, you know. Stormy, we out here for you. We love you. And, you know, keep your head up. Superman, I know you're watching over us. Steph, I love you, bro. I'm out here wearing the NWO jacket. Superman t-shirt is, you know, they always called you Superman. I would have wore the Kobe jersey, but it was really hot earlier. And I didn't want to sweat my balls off. I'm sorry. But I love you, and happy heavenly birthday. So we're in December now. The MLB season is over. We already know who the champion is. The Atlanta Braves. I already did an episode about that recently, if you guys didn't know. The Atlanta Braves won their first World Series championship since The first one since, what was it, 1995? They beat the Cleveland Indians.
Yep.
And I know my dumbass kept saying they beat the Yankees in 95. My dumbass kept saying that. Congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. Once again. But now it's the off season. So I'm sorry, but you know, we out here in Boston, and listen, this is a social circle out here. Like, we talking Boston sports. If you guys look at my Facebook page, the profile on the Facebook page, the profile picture says, "This is our fucking city." The only man that said that is no other than the man, the myth, the legend, David Ortiz. The man that carried us through the marathon bombings. The man that helped us, I'm not gonna give him full credit, but he helped us reverse the curse. You fair to say, old Greg, he helped us reverse the curse?
Yes, he definitely did.
Boom. Okay. Because a lot of people disagree with me about that. A lot of people wanna say that, oh, if it wasn't for, you know, Dave Roberts stealing that base, David Ortiz wouldn't be relevant. And like, you know what? Kiss my ass. Kiss my ass, all right? Fuck that. But anywho, we could talk about that later. So, okay, right now we have some good pitchers. We signed from free agency. We took Michael Wacha from Tampa Bay, and Michael Wacha is. He played for St. Louis, the Cardinals. I forget if he won the 2011 championship with the Cardinals. I will look that up in a second. But the question I really want to ask is, you know. Okay, he didn't win the 2011 championship. Okay, that's fine. But it's really bothering me because, you know, you guys know Diddy. You know, a lot of you remember Diddy from a few, you know, back in season one, he was arguing with about the fact that, you know, Brad Stevens was not, you know, when I said Brad Stevens was a terrible coach. But, I had a whole argument with Diddy the other day about the trade between the Milwaukee Braves and the Boston Red Sox. Welcome back, JBJ. Me personally, defensively, he was great. Yeah, at the bat, he wasn't all that. But defensively, out in the field, he was fucking amazing. Like that whole that trio, and oh, Greg, I know you remember the trio: Benintendi, Betts, Jackie Bradley. Yeah. Like, what a fucking the Killer Bees. Thank you. That's what they fucking call themselves. They did that for a reason. Because if it wasn't Jackie Bradley climbing the fucking walls. Like he was running from the cops, or fucking Benintendi running into walls, or fucking Mookie Betts flipping over walls. Come on, man. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have been 2018 champions. Let's be real. Let's be real. Yeah. So, oh, Greg, I gotta ask you. What do you think about that trade? You know, regardless, because I feel like me personally, we have more trouble on defense than we do on offense. But let me ask you, was it the best decision trading Hunter Renfro along with the two minor league players to get JBJ back to Boston?
I don't believe we traded away players. We got players coming back. But I think it was an... I think it was an alright trade. Not going to say it was a blockbuster or anything like that. But it was alright. We got a couple of good prospects coming in. I do think that it was kind of bizarre that we trade a great hitter for somebody who was hitting the Mendoza line. For those of you probably familiar with baseball, was there was a center fielder named Mario Mendoza, and he hit below the 200 batting average, JBJ, last year, hit well below 200. JBJ is a very good outfielder, but that's the extent of it. His batting average is horrendous. It's last year was like about like 190. And if you're batting below 200 in the majors, he just doesn't have the bat. He's got a very good glove, but a very poor bat. But I think he'll be very good defense as a good outfielder. Maybe his luck will turn around and he'll shock the world and he'll become a world beater. I don't necessarily think that maybe happened, but stranger things have happened. I think it was an all right trade, fair enough. We got some prospects. I will miss Hunter Renfroe, but I think if the rest of the team can hit the way they were hitting last year when they just started firing on all cylinders, I think they'll be all right.
Okay, okay. Does JBJ fit back in Boston, or like do you think like he should have just kept on moving, you know, like I don't know, do you feel like he fits in Red Sox uniform, or should he have stayed in Milwaukee or possibly go to fucking, you know, the Dodgers or wherever, you know what I mean? Like, do you think him being back in Boston is gonna benefit the Red Sox?
I think it might benefit us. I think he'll be that outfielder that we need, since that was something we kind of lacked last year. I think he'll be very good on the defensive side with the outfield. Offensive, probably not. But I think he'll make a good addition to our outfield. I think he'll help maybe prevent some of the bigger plays that kind of bit us in the ass last year for not being able to stop. And it might help us keep games a little bit closer. So I'm not going to say he's a perfect fit, but I think he's someone that will do his job well here in Boston. And he already has experience with Alex Cora being a part of the 2018 championship team. So let's just see what happens.
I agree. So Diddy, if you're listening, and I know you're gonna be listening later on. Oh, Greg agrees, but so like you sort of agree with Diddy, but disagree is what I'm trying to say, right? Like, because he texted me the other day that it was a bad trade. You know, there was a bad trade getting rid of Hunter Renfroe. Because I'm with you on that. Like, I love Hunter Renfroe. Like, fucking big bat. And, you know, hell yeah, he was great on the outfield. I went to the game where we were down 4-0 against the Yankees. And we came back and won in the 8th inning. You know what I mean? So, like, in Diddy's opinion, do you agree or disagree with him when he says that it was a bad trade, you know, getting rid of the minor league players that we had and training, you know, along with Hunter Renfroe to Milwaukee and getting JBJ back along with prospects? Do you agree or disagree with that trade?
I slightly disagree. I think maybe we should have just kept Renfro, but just take whatever it is for what it take what it is for what it is and just see what happens.
Okay. Okay. I respect that. I respect that. I think it's I agree. Like I want to see what happens. Like I'm excited for spring training. Let's see what happens. I mean, shit. We just got Michael Wacha. Like, come on, dude. Like seriously, you know, Michael Walker's a great pitcher. We got Rich Hill back. Honestly, I'm not too crazy about Rich Hill coming back. You know, like I met him in person. Rich, I love you to death. You know, I met Rich Hill. I want to say like 6-7 years ago, at my barbershop up the street. His son was getting a haircut, and I didn't recognize it was him until my barber, who was cutting his son's hair, was like, "Yo, that's Rich Hill." I'm like, "Rich Hill? Who the fuck is Rich Hill?" Like, "Oh, that's Rich Hill. Yeah, I remember him playing for us." You know, I met him in person. I have a picture of me and Rich and his son. Let's see what'll happen with, you know, because I feel like the oh my god, like I don't know, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, old Greg, but like, do you think the big mistake, the big issue we had last season was pitching, or was it more offensively? I personally think it was pitching, you know, pitching and defense. Well, defense not so much, but more so pitching. Like, our bullpen was shit. I have to say, our bullpen was shit. You know, best of luck to, you know, E-Rod. Good luck to you. Enjoy Detroit while you can. Because I'm pretty sure they're gonna get rid of your contract. I'm sorry, but fuck you. Sorry. All due respect. But we got Michael Wacha now. We got you know, Rich Hill back, which, you know, I'm sorry, but he's 41, and we don't know. This is his seventh straight season now, and it was like he's 41. It's like his fourth time back in Boston or some shit. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I know we got another pitcher from another team. I forget what team it was. But another thing, it's like, we just... I feel like we gotta like really focus on the real issue here, and I feel like the real issue is the staffing. You know, how the fuck do we like we send Dave Dombrowski packing. And we get a guy that just doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. We could have won the pennant this year. I'm not going to say we could have beaten the Braves, because the Braves were a strong-ass fucking team. Maybe we could have beat the Braves. I mean, another thing that Diddy said is that the reason why... you know, the Red Sox got eliminated from the playoffs in the ALCS is because Eduardo Rodriguez was being cocky and some more shit. Fine, we were 3-0 after that. You know what I mean? Fine, I'll give you that. But I can't... can you really blame it all on him? No, exactly. Okay, old Greg just shook his head. No, you can't blame it all on E-Rod. Our pitching was shit. That entire season, the entire regular season, the entire postseason, we shouldn't have even been in the wild card. We should have been past that. We should have been like at least the number two seed. Come on now, yo. It was a hell of a year for us. The fact that, like, I'm sorry, but like, I had a feeling that we were going to get eliminated sometime in the playoffs because we haven't been a wild card team in years, right? Like, it's been years since we've been a wild card team. So, we should have done better than that. We should have done way fucking better than that. It was our pitching that fucked up. And, you know, like I said, E-Rod, good luck to you. Brazier, welcome back. Michael Walker, welcome to Boston. Fucking Rich Hill, welcome back to Boston. You know, he's a Boston kid himself. You know, here we have a guy who grew up at Fenway Park cheering on his hometown team. Could this be his last season? Possibly. And if this is his last season, let's get him a ring. Let's send him out in style. Switching gears. I want to talk about the Boston Bruins right now. Oh, Greg, I know you heard the news. And I heard the news the other day. Diddy has sent me this the other day. Jake DeBrusque has requested a trade from the Bruins. After, and here's why I'm a little upset. But at the same time, I'm not so much upset. Because I've been hearing about it and I've been watching the way he plays. Okay. Jake DeBrusque, number 74 of the Bruins. Mm-hmm. A man that's a second line. He signed a contract last November for 2 years, $32 million. Now this year, over a year into his contract, he wants to be traded from the Bruins to wherever the hell else. Now, I've been hearing from, you know, critics, you know, broadcasters. Yeah. Oh, actually, it was one of my neighbors who happens to be a critic, you know, who's a diehard Bruins fan and watches the Bruins every day, that he straight up told me that Jake DeBrusque plays on the second line, but he plays like a fourth lineman. Can you is that arguable? Like, can you agree or disagree with that?
Unfortunately, I don't really see as many Bruins games I'd like to. Because a lot of times they're on Nesson or they're on ESPN Plus. But from things I've been reading there, yeah, DeBrusque just doesn't seem to quite have the heart he used to. And if they can get something good out of him, maybe something better of it. Well, defensively, or somebody who's really at scoring and stuff, then I think the Bruins should take that trade. If they can get someone, I feel bad because I think DeBrusque is a good player.
Hell yeah.
But if they can get somebody better for him in return, I'd say go for it.
Okay. Shit, and like I said, you know, like you just said, and I agree with you, DeBrusque is a good player. He's good at fucking just bodying motherfuckers. I've seen him play. I've seen him his rookie year. I've seen him play, you know. He's fucking great. Why does he want to leave the Bruins? I don't fucking know. But also, the Bruins have been a little bit struggling, you know. I mean, have you been at least following the
yes,
Bruins this season?
Yes, I've been following them. They've been struggling.
Okay, boom.
There's battle of the starting goalies. It's been one they've been struggling to find consistency. The Bruins have been struggling and juggling around their consistency for years. They only seem to have talent on one line. And they just can't seem to ever get past the second round of the playoffs. So I think it might just be time as they need to start in order to try to build, either build better or go on something now, is get rid of some of these excess players and try to get the guys that can get you to the cup and win it.
So let me ask you, Greg, as a diehard Bruins fan all your life, what are the players that they shouldn't get rid of? And this is a rhetorical, this is a stupid question, because I know the names you're going to say. But go ahead.
I would keep Bergeron, Marchand, Hall, Pasternak,
McAvoy, maybe.
Keep Charlie McAvoy. Keep Charlie Coyle.
Nope.
That's kind of really it.
Okay.
Oh, and Grizzlick.
Hell yeah! I was waiting for that one, and I was gonna say that too. Definitely. I mean, those seven, eight guys that old Gregory just mentioned, that's a championship winning team right there. Jake DeBrusque, I'm sorry that you feel the way that you feel. I'm sorry that you feel like you want to leave, that you need to leave. And you mentioned the goalie situation.
Yes.
So right now there's two goalies.
Uh-huh.
There's Swayman and Ulk. I can't even pronounce his fucking last name. 35.
Yeah.
35 is what I'm going to call him. Who should be the starting goalie?
I think I would just stick with Swayman and let him build consistency.
Thank you.
Just because that's easy, our best bet going forward. I don't see Tuukka Rask coming back after that surgery. I truthfully think he might be done in the NHL. If he comes back, he might go to a team like Seattle or something like that. I think Tuukka might just go somewhere. He can be a backup somewhere else. I don't think he wants anything much else to do with Boston. Especially after he had to kind of quit on the COVID bubble and he got a shitload of criticism for that. So my answer is, I don't think you will ever see number 40 for the Bruins starting in net under the name Tuukka Rask.
Bottom fucking line. And I'm sorry, but like, Tuukka Rask has been my favorite goalie other than, like, first off, I've been watching the Bruins since shit. I mean, like, and just like I've been watching every Boston sports team since they've been a shitty ass team, but I've seen every Boston sports team that has won a championship, no matter how long the drought has been. I watched the Patriots when they won their first championship. I watched the Bruins when they won their first championship in, like, what, 50 years or some shit?
It was almost, it was 39.
Thank you. Sorry. Whoops. The Celtics when they won their 17th. The fucking Red Sox when they won their first in 86 years. They reversed the curse of the Bambino. I seen that shit on TV in my living room. Oh, Greg. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
This is shit we grew up with. Like, you know, I watch, you know, when Tom Brady, the sixth round 199 overall pick of the NFL draft. He helped us win our first Super Bowl. And then five more after. Sure, it took a while to win five more after. But a lot of people hate him because he's on another team now. But like I said in the beginning of the podcast, beginning of this episode, how do we feel about winning six in a row? Oh, yeah. Come on. Kiss my ass with that bullshit. Six in a fucking row with a rookie quarterback from Alabama. Didn't we took him in the first round or second round or
first
some
round,
shit? First round. Boom. Thank you. See, all Greg just said, first round, 15th overall. Yeah, there's a big difference between him and Tom Brady. But look at, I don't want to say look at the way he's playing, because he could play better. He could play better. Fair to say, you know, for my listeners out there, oh, Greg, could Mac Jones play better than he has been playing?
I think he could. But I think right now he's playing at the best he can. I think he's really turned around since the beginning when they were 2-4. Yeah, after the Cowboys game, they really started to. Great, they the Jets up, but things really started turning around, and they've been really. He's been much more consistent. He's been. There's out of their four losses, three of them were all very close games. Like if it wasn't for a late fumble in the fourth quarter against Miami near the red zone, which took away potential points. Another red zone fumble against the Buccaneers, which may not have had a missed field goal against the Buccaneers. Which they not have had to go for had they not fumbled on an earlier drive, and let's say that thing was a pick six. Thing that would have resulted in that had Mac Jones not previously thrown a pick six, that the touchdown that Kendrick Bourne had. Even if it doesn't happen, the Patriots would have gotten killed off clock time that any scoring, I think, possession Dallas got would have been minimal, would have had been at the end and been meaningless. So out of three of them, the only really bad loss he had was against New Orleans. And that was just their rookie growing pains. But I think everyone's starting to click. I think they're starting to gel. And I think that the Patriots have a good shot at going deep in the playoffs this year. I think we might be able to retake the AFC East. I don't know for sure. I don't necessarily think we're Super Bowl contenders. But I do think we can make a strong playoff push. And I think that if we can keep a few of these guys around, we could probably get a seventh Super Bowl within the next couple of years.
Okay, and I'd hate to agree with old Greg on that last comment that we're not Super Bowl contenders, that we might not be Super Bowl contenders. You got to think about the teams that have been great all fucking season. You got to think about Buffalo. You got to think, you know, Buffalo, who were playing on Monday. You got to think about Tennessee, who's been number one for a minute. You got to think about Baltimore. Which, I'm sorry, but Lamar Jackson, you know, he deserves it. I'm sorry, he deserves it. But a question I do have for you, and you and I talked about this before I started this episode. You and I are diehard Patriots fans, fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
Diehard Patriots fans, old Greg and I. Is Mac Jones a candidate for Rookie of the Year?
I think so.
I agree as well. I don't know if the NFL does like AFC Rookie of the Year, NFC Rookie of the Year, but I don't, and I'm not going to say that Mac Jones is our new Tom Brady. No. nobody will replace Tom Brady. The things that he's done for us, the amount of championships that he's won for us, nobody can replace Tom Brady. And yeah, I agree with old Greg. I agree with you, bro. Like, within the next couple of years, if Belichick and Kraft, you know, make smarter decisions, yeah, I do agree that Mac Jones will eventually get us a seventh championship ring and have us be the real team to beat. But it's not only up to him. You know, that's the only thing. It's not only up to him. We got to think about offense. We got to think about... our defense is fucking amazing right now this season. Special teams. You know what I mean? It's been a hell of a season. We were 2-4. Like you said, we were 2-4. Now we're 8-4. And we got Buffalo on Monday. Which, shit. Oh, my God. I'm excited for Monday. I'm mad at the fact that I'll be at work. But, you know. Yeah, which, by the way, I'm back at work on Monday. So, unfortunately, I won't be watching. I will be listening. But, I don't know. I feel like we have Buffalo. I feel like we got Buffalo. What do you think? Do you think? I feel like it's going to be a close game. It's going to be a very close one. I don't want to say it's going to go to overtime, but I think it's going to be a very close game. It's going to be decided by a field goal. What do you think, old Greg?
I think it will be a close game for a bit. I don't want to say the Pats have Buffalo. It all depends if the defense shows up. Because Buffalo's got a shitty O-line. If the defense can show up early and often and get to Josh Allen and stop and make him hold on to the ball, I've got a good chance of winning. Let's just take it. Let's just focus on winning against Buffalo and let's see what happens.
One play at a time, right?
One play at a time.
One play at a time. Let's take him one play at a time. You know what I'm saying? Last thing I'm going to leave y'all with. Celtics are playing right now. I'm sorry. The Celtics are not playing right now because they just beat the shit out of Portland. Oh, my God. Look at the numbers. Look at that.
Holy hell.
Celtics 145. Portland 117. Oh, my God, son of a bitch.
Well, that sounds like that was a real fucking scoring night for both
what
teams.
The fuck happened? I don't even want to know. We don't even got to talk about that. We don't even got to talk about how the Celtics played. First off, I haven't seen the highlights. We didn't watch the game. But, okay, thank you. Thank you, Boston Celtics. Thank you, Celtics, for doing that. Holy fuck. I will watch the highlights tonight. I will recap tomorrow morning. I promise you, I will do an episode tomorrow morning and recap that whole game. Jesus fuck, I can't imagine. Dude, those numbers were fucking incredible. Mm-hmm. Jesus fuck, man. But that's it from us. So... stay social while being socially distant. Oh, Greg, you got anything else to say?
If any of these listeners, if any of you celebrate Hanukkah, may you have a happy Hanukkah.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. Yeah, yes. Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays.
Hanukkah, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, yes. Happy Kwanzaa.
Yes.
Respectful Ramadan. A tip top tet. Happy Boxing Day. Happy Merry Saturnalia.
You know, a funny thing that before we started this podcast, we were discussing me, Stormy, and old Greg and I. We're discussing how many Christmas movies I've actually seen. So far, I'm at 40 out of 50 that they have mentioned. Stormy went home. Old Greg is probably still thinking, I don't know. We're probably just going to be keep chilling out here, whatever. But I'm going to leave y'all with that. I want to turn the music on. I love you guys. Thank you for being loyal listeners. Stay social while being socially distant, of course. Watch out for Omicron is real, people.
Just wash your hands and...
Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Well, and you stay social while being socially distant.
Just take care of yourself. Take care of those around you. Eat your vitamins, drink your milk, and say your prayers.
Ignore. I love y'all. Thank you.